Let's open our Bibles together, please, this evening in the book of Revelation and the chapter number 7. The seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. And we commence to read at verse number 9. Revelation chapter 7 and the verse number 9 follow the reading of God's infallible word. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh God, we come reverently and humbly before thy holy throne. And as we do so, we acknowledge our unworthiness, and Lord, of ourselves, our helplessness. But we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We approach thy throne through the merits of the Savior's precious blood. And we cry unto thee, O God, speak to our hearts. Take away everything of man tonight. Take us away, O God, from this scene, this little scene of time. And O God, transport us. As thou didst John when you took him and carried him away in the Spirit. And, O God, teach us and bless us through thy word. To this end, O God, I cry to thee, help me to preach thy truth. I pray in Jesus' precious name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I sing in the words of a hymn. Quite often I sing, I'm nearer home than I was yesterday. And for several Sabbath evenings, we have been dwelling and thinking upon the things that are not in heaven. We saw there was no more sea or separation. There's no more death. There's no more sorrow. There's no more tears. There's no more pain, there's no more curse, and there's no more night. Whenever we think about that place called heaven, then we ask the question, heaven? But how can I get there? In this passage of God's word, the opening words of verse number 9 says, after this. And friend, we're talking about something that's after this. After this old world of sin and sorrow and sickness and sadness and night and tears. After this. And tonight we open the word of God and we seek to draw from this passage of God's word. Yes, heaven, how can I be sure? How can I get there? To be among the redeemed of the Lord. Now, in answering that question about heaven, I think I must ponder first of all upon this question. Where is heaven? The place. And when we come to the Word of God, friend, we find that the Scriptures are comparatively silent as to the locality of heaven. But the Word of God is absolutely emphatic about this fact, that heaven is a place. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was upon this earth, and when he was leaving his disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 14, he said this. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then he said this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And just as sure as this is our place in this world here in Macrofelt, there will be a place for the redeemed of God in a place that Christ has promised that he would go to prepare for his people. It was a place called heaven. The 14th chapter of the book of Job. Job said this, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And then he says this, and where is he? Where is he? Where is this place that God has promised in his precious word that he has prepared for those that love him? Now remember, whenever God created things, he created it in 6 days. He made the heavens and the earth. But before that God created the heavens and the earth, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed Holy Spirit and the Father were together in heaven in unity, dwelling there. We find that God doesn't identify the actual place where it is. You know, if God did, men and women would be seeking and searching and my trying every scientific way to get there. Men are trying and men have been on the moon. Men are trying to get to Mars. Let me tell you, my friend, if God had given us the location of heaven, men and women would be trying to get there. Before the time that God has purposed and planned for us to go. Because man has an inquiring mind. But what I do know is this, that it is a place that Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has selected for those who are saved and those who are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of John's Gospel, in the chapter 24, we have the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said to you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelt there in heaven before that the world was ever formed. Let's look at verse number 24 of John chapter 17. Father, Jesus says, I will, this is the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ says, Father, I will it that those whom thou hast given me, those whom I have redeemed with my precious blood upon the cross of Calvary, that they be with me where I am, in the place where I am, says the Lord Jesus. I also know it's the place where the throne of God is. You look in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, it says this. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. So we know it's up. He says, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately, it says, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow about the throne, round about the throne, in sight like an emerald. And so we know it's up. Heaven is up. And says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and he beheld the throne there, because the throne of God was there. Then turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles in the chapter 1. Acts of the Apostles in the chapter 1, you remember the Lord Jesus Christ was taken from his disciples, but he was taken up from his disciples. If you look there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Verse 10, or verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And the cloud received him out of their self and or out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. He went up. Two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men in Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so therefore we find over and over again that it's taken up, so the place is upward. The pinpointing of the locality is not given in the Word of God, but we do know what's up. The Lord Jesus Christ was taken up into heaven. And yet, let me tell you, my friend, no matter where it's located, it's not far away, because Paul said this, that when he would close his eyes in death, he said it would be absent from the body, immediately present. He would be present with the Lord. Not far away. I read of a godly woman. She's nearing the end of her journey here on earth, and her husband was sitting by her bedside and put his arms around her. And she opened her eyes and she said this to her husband before she died. She says, you know, my head is in heaven and my heart is in heaven. And then she says, in another step, I'll be there too. Friend, it's not far away. I remember when I was a child, my mother used to tell me about her family down there in Arbaugh, and Sharon, my sister here, knows exactly this as well. She used to tell us about the night that her little sister died.
young girl. Mother had already gone to heaven. Left a wee family, or rather quite a big family, behind. The eldest girl of that family took control of the family and looked after them. She became mother. Sickness entered into the home, as I said, once again, and the youngest child came to a moment where she was dying, and as she gathered the family around her bed and they were sitting there, she called out to her sister and she says, "Ah, sissy, heaven's lovely. Good night, sissy. Good night." She started to repeat a little verse, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Pity my simplicity. Suffer me to come to thee." And as she was saying those words, she reached out her hands and she fell back. She closed her eyes. She's looking up. She's looking up. Friend, let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ has promised a real place for his people. A real place. You know, whenever I think about it, you know, the Lord made heaven and earth in 6 days. And every day that he finished a part of his creation, God said day by day, he said, "You know, that's good. That's good." The last day after God finished all of his creation, and then he made man, and God looked on all that he'd created, and then God said this: "That's very good. That's very good." Friend, in 6 days. And yet it's 2,000 years ago that Jesus said to his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place for you," he said, "I will come again and I will receive you unto myself." Listen, over 2,000 years in preparation. And when he looked at all his creation in 6 days, it's very good. I can tell you the place, heaven's going to be magnificent. What a wonderful place heaven must be. As death approached a young American preacher, death was coming. He was involved in an accident that would soon take him home to heaven. And as death approached, his mind seemed to wander. It just seemed as if, you know, we sing the hymn, "And things of earth will grow strangely dim." And it just seemed as if that the things of earth just had grown dim completely. And his father and family were sitting round his side. And as the father gathered there at the side of his bed, his father, hoping to arouse his son, he said to him, he says, "Do you see me, my son? Do you see me?" The young preacher said, "No." He says, "Do you know your father's voice, son?" The young preacher said, "No." His wife was sitting by, and she reached over her husband and she started to put her hand through his hair, and lovingly and tenderly she said the same thing. She said, "Do you see me? Do you see my darling?" And he said, "No." "Do you hear, do you know my voice, darling?" And the preacher's answer was no. And they had a young child and a young girl, and they brought the little child over to her daddy, and she used to put her arms around daddy's neck, and so she did it once again, and the little child began to say, "Daddy, daddy, do you see me?" "No." Daddy, do you hear? Do you know my voice? He said, no. The family were somewhat distraught at this. And then the father reached over his son and he said, my darling son, do you know Jesus? And immediately the dimmed eyes seemed to brighten just for a second. And in a calm, clear voice, he said this. Ah, yes. Ah, yes, I know Jesus. For I have a steadfast trust in Jesus. Thank God Jesus is the one that went to prepare a place for you and me. But very quickly, friend, not only do we see the place in the scriptures here, turn to Revelation chapter 7. Notice the population. The population. And if you look there in verse number 9, it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. Now the scriptures reveal much light concerning the occupants of that wonderful place. Do you know that there was a time there was no human in heaven? The angels were there. The cherubims, the seraphims were there. But there was no human there. The unfallen angels, yes, the holy angels, they were there. But friend, when we come to Revelation chapter 7, and in verse number 9, we find the population of heaven, and we find here there is a multitude, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. Yes, there are a multitude of humans there. Remember one time the disciples looked with a questioned face to the Savior, and they said this, are there few that be saved? And the Lord never answered that question at that particular time to them. But friend, God reveals this to John. A great multitude, in other words, a multitude beyond number. A vast throng, a multitude that baffles all calculations, have passed through the pearly gates of heaven. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he was in this earth, he said, they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and they'll sit down in the kingdom of God. Of all nations, of all kindreds, of all peoples and tongues. Notice, there will be some saved out of every nation. There will be people saved, my friend, out of every tongue and every kindred and people upon the face of this earth. People from every inhabited spot on earth. And they'll be there in heaven. The dying thief will be there. The Apostle Paul will be there. The beloved John will be there. Peter will be there. And Thomas and James will be there. They'll be a part of a great multitude that no man could number. You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this congregation. And friend, I remember looking over this congregation from the days in the wee tin hut, and I just thought about that, you know. And looking over those years, I can recall people that sat among us that they're in that multitude tonight. Think of me, Mrs. Spears. Think of Mrs. McKee. Think of Essie Bowman and Bella Booth, Bernie Davison, Willie and Nina, Nora, Huey, Tilly, Willie and Mrs. Lees. Simpson Wilson, Jean Mitchell, friend, we could go on and on. Mom, Dad, and Juan. In that great multitude, which no man could number. I go into the graveyard and I see the little children's markings. You know, some years ago, there was a preacher and there was a little child that passed away in this family. And the mother was very hard. He couldn't reach her. He couldn't reach her. He tried everything under the sun to reach her with the gospel. But she was so bitter, so angry with God. I wouldn't want a God like that, she said. Many times the preacher went to that farmhouse and sought to lead her to Christ, but every time she was so rebellious and so rejectful of even the preacher that came, until one day the preacher was sitting in the home. And he passed by the father of the home and he came into the farmyard and then he sat in the house. And the lady left after some time. He tried to reach her, but she still was as rebellious. What could he do? What would he say that would reach this woman for the Lord Jesus Christ and bring her to a saving faith in Jesus Christ? And nothing seemed possible. And then she went out to make the tea. The preacher walked over to the window and he was looking through the farmhouse window. And as he looked out into the yard and across the road, he looked into the field. And he saw the father of the home, the husband. He was trying to get the sheep into the field, but he couldn't do it. He tried everything he could, but somehow those sheep would jump and they would run away. He couldn't get them in. Then he was standing, as the preacher was standing at the window, looking out, he noticed something. He noticed the farmer stooped down and lifted a little lamb. And the farmer wasn't driving the sheep anymore. He held this little lamb under his arms and he walked with the little lamb into the field. And with the cry of the little lamb, and the mother began to bleat in answer to the cry of her little lamb. And the farmer set the little lamb down in the field. And suddenly the mother's eyes turned toward the field. And friend, in no time, that sheep was through the gate into the field beside her little lamb. And of those know who's in the farm, you must notice that sheep will then follow after the one after the other. He couldn't drive them into the field. But the farmer lifted a little lamb. The mother came in with the tea and she sat down. And after the preacher had taken his tea, he says, "You know, I saw something today that I want to share with you." He says, "You know, your husband was trying to get the sheep into the field, but he couldn't do it. But then I noticed him do something. He lifted a little lamb. And the wee lamb was safely in the field. And the bleating of the little lamb was answered by the baying of a mother. And the little lamb was calling the mother to the field." He said, "You know, God taught me a lesson today. Because he says sometimes God in love has to reach down to people who will not listen, who will not heed, who do not want to hear. And sometimes God in love and mercy, God has got to reach down, and God has got to take the little lamb, and he's got to put it in his, under his arms or carry it in his bosom. And then God brings the little lamb inside the fold for the sheep to follow. And then he turned and he said, I want to say, Mrs., calling her by name. He says, God has lifted your little lamb. And your little lamb would bleat, Mommy, follow. Mommy, follow. And friend, you and I know that Noel Grant wrote a hymn one time, Come on over here, Daddy. Come on over here. I am happy now with Jesus. Come on over here. He was a drunkard and had no time for the things of God, but God lifted his little child. And as he lay sleeping, he had a dream and he could see his little one in glory. And the little one was beckoning to Daddy. Daddy, I am happy now with Jesus. Come on over here. A great multitude, friend. Listen. There are people sitting in this meeting tonight. And you know those who are a part of that multitude. A mother. A father. A brother. Sister. A child. Dr. Watts said this. Dr. Watts said, when I get to heaven, he said, I will see great three wonders there. He said, first of all, I shall miss persons whom I expected to meet there. He said, the second wonder is this, I shall see many that I never expected to meet there. But he said, the greatest wonder of all, is I'll be there. Can I ask you a question? Will you be a part of that throng on that day, the great multitude, the incalculable number which no man could number, of all nations and all people and tongues? I remember standing in the garden tomb and remember being asked to sing a little piece, Because He Lives. We were gathered round the communion table in the garden tomb. And we were having a communion feast. And I remember standing there before that company of folks that were with us, and I started to sing, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. And a lady stepped out of another grouping. I think she was from Brazil. She's certainly a different language from me, but as I sang Because He Lives, she began to sing it in her language by my side. Just blending our voices together. Of all nations, of all kindreds, of all people, of all tongues. And thank God I'll be there. Now we've looked at the place, and we've looked at the population. Thirdly, let's look at the past. Because notice what it says in this passage of God's Word. It tells us concerning these people who are in heaven, verse number 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Friend, here's their past. They came out of great tribulation. They came out of trying experiences. They knew what it was to have trouble and trials and my in the world, they would have tribulation. Yes, their past was a past of heartache. They were strangers and pilgrims upon this earth. But notice what it said. These are they which have come out of. Thank God they've left their past behind. And friend, in this world there's many a poor orphan. And in this world, there's many a lonely widow. And many in this world, there's many a blind Bartimaeus. And there's many an afflicted Lazarus. And there's many a persecuted saint. But praise God, they're going to come out of it. These are they which have come out of great tribulation. Thank God they've left it behind. Just a moment, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of faith. And we read in that chapter of faith, if you look there at verse number 36, because of time, it says, "And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth." Yes, that was their past. And for the cause of Christ, there have been those who have been sawn asunder. For the cause of Jesus Christ, there have been those whose head have been placed upon the block and the head has been taken from them. There have been those that have been persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus. But praise God, you're going to leave it all behind. And I say this to you, dear brother or sister, if you're going through a hard time at this moment, listen. Don't be overcome by your situation. Don't let the devil overcome you with your situation. Listen, your pain will pass. And your poverty will pass. And your persecution will pass because you'll come out. You'll come out. Yea, though I pass through, praise God, you'll pass through. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Yes, notice, through the fire. Thank God you'll come out. You come out on the other side. I read of a preacher who was visiting a poor dying woman some years ago in a very humble dwelling. He passed through some dirty streets and arrived in a place where this wee woman lay. It was just a simple room. It was totally destitute of furniture. And in the corner lay a heap of straw. And in that heap of straw, there lay a little frame of a child of God who was dying. There were only a few rags to cover her. She was penniless. She was friendless. She was in the last stages of consumption. And yet somehow there was a smile across her face. The preacher, having come there for the first time and looked around the place and she had got absolutely nothing, he said this. He says, "Is this all you've got?" And she raised her wasted arm. And a tear fell down her face as she smiled. "Yes, all but Christ." And then she said this, "Preacher, it will do. I shall soon change it for a home in glory." Have you got a heavenly vision tonight? Is your eyes upon the beauty of your earthly dwelling, friend, that you leave in a moment? Is your life built upon possessions and things of this world, and yet you leave them all behind? Or are you looking forward to the day when you'll see the King. They came out of great tribulation. That was their past. But praise God, the tribulation's over. Praise God, the persecution's past. And then we have their pardon. Look at this. These are they which came out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes, and they've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Friend, they weren't always white. They've washed their robes. They have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Once they were sinners, defiled in God's sight. Once they were bound in iniquity and the chains of sin. Once they were steeped in their ungodly state, guilty of every crime under heaven. They were stained by sin. But thank God, these are they that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There's a lovely statement in the 21st or 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 27. Chapter 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Thank God, the blood of the Lamb. There in that throng, there'll be the blood-stained Manasseh. There in that blood-washed throng, there'll be the treacherous Saul of Tarsus. Thank God, in that throng, there'll be the dying thief. In that throng, there'll be the gambling Bunyan. In that throng, there'll be the blaspheming Newton. In that throng, there'll be the denying Peter. In that throng, there'll be the saved drunkard. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you say, I'm too vile to be saved. God couldn't save the likes of me. I'm too sinful. My past comes up before me. I'm guilty of crime against crime against crime against the God of heaven. God's not able to save me. Remember Johnny McQuaid? That's what he used to say to me. Johnny, the Member of Parliament for North Belfast. And Johnny was one of the Chindas. He was one of the special squads that were fighting for Queen and Country. He went out and fought and killed to save his nation. And whenever you talk to Johnny about it, he would say to me, he said, you know, William, if you only knew what I had to do as a soldier to deliver our nation. He says, God couldn't save me. You've heard me say it before, and then Sissy, Johnny's wife, took ill with cancer. And Sissy was dying. And he went to one of my colleagues because he loved Sissy. Lived in a wee house off the Shankill Road, and he loved Sissy with all his heart. And he knew Sissy wasn't right with God. And he went to a colleague of mine, and he asked him, would you please come and speak to Sissy? For she's dying and she's not ready. And her brother went, my brother in the Lord went to speak to Sissy, and Sissy got gloriously saved. And praise God, Johnny got saved too. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse from all sin. There's a wee verse over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll soon be finished. It says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Friend, don't stop there. Look at the next verse. Verse number 11, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, but you're washed. But you're washed. Then God made clean. Washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And here's the last thought. Notice their position. Go back to Revelation chapter 7. Verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God. Why are they in heaven? Why are they there? Because of good works? Because of self-righteousness? Because of what they were able to do for others? No. Because they had washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. That's why they were there. Redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb. Friend, there's the answer to the question. How can I get to heaven? Through the blood of the Lamb. How can I be sure of heaven? Through the blood of the Lamb. But you've got to come by faith. And have the cleansing of the blood. You need washed in the precious blood of Jesus. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Is there any hope for me? Praise God, there is. Through the blood of the Lamb. Could God save you? Yes, He can. These are they which have come out of great tribulation. They have washed their robes, they've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, because of the blood of the Lamb, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night. There's only one way to heaven, friend. It's through the finished work of Christ. It's through the blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary. For without the blood there is no remission of sin. You may be kind, you may be considerate, you may be moral, you may be affectionate, you may be good, you may be pleasant. All of those things and go to hell. But if you take your place as a sinner and come to the fountain of blood and claim the covering of the blood of Christ from every sin, you know what God says? Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Praise God. Washed clean. Washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Will you come to the Lord tonight? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. Hallelujah. Lose all their guilty stain. Friend, it's the only way to get there. Oh yes, men and women want to get to heaven. But not that defileth shall ever enter in. You need to be washed clean in the blood of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless Thy word tonight. Pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt speak to hearts. Bring men and women, young people to a knowledge of Your Son. Oh, that they might get their dirty garments washed. In the blood of the Lamb. The dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sin away. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight, maybe there's someone here and you say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. And tonight I need to be washed, I need to be cleansed, I need to be clean." But there's only one way, it's through the blood. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we sing a little verse, "Just as I am," in closing. "O Lamb of God, I come." If there's one in that meeting and you say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart." Listen, maybe you're unsaved tonight. Maybe you're backslidden tonight. The one you need to get to is the Lord. He's the only answer. "O Lamb of God, I come." And if there's one tonight, you say, "Lead me to Christ," then as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and we sing this little verse, friend, for you. Just slip that hand above your head, indicate that desire. Every head will be bowed and eyes are closed. The preacher's here is one who's watching for your soul. May God give you grace. Don't let another night pass, friend. It could be the last. You need the Lord just as I am. Just as I am with heart one. Is there one tonight as every head is bowed and eyes are closed? You say, "Preacher, point me to Christ." You just lift that hand upstairs in the gallery or downstairs. Friend, in God's name, don't leave without the Lord Jesus tonight. Receive him as your Savior. "O Lamb of God, I come." Is there one in the closing second? Just lift that hand right now toward heaven. "O Lamb of God, I come." Heavenly Father, give deciding grace tonight. Don't let men and women walk away from the fountain of blood, the fountain of cleansing, the fountain of pardon. "Therefore are they before the throne," before the Lamb, face to face with Jesus. Oh God, save them tonight. For Jesus' sake. Amen.